Okay. All right. Well, we're going to have some big fun now. It's always fun. And one of the things when I felt like God was calling me in to be in a lead pastor opposed to the position as executive pastor that I had for years, and I loved doing that. One of the things that scared me the most was like, okay, you have to like plan sermon series. You have to think through, okay, how are we going to do this and what's next? And that felt like really heavy and like that's a big thing. And then you got to come up with clever names and all of this. Like I could preach a sermon inside of someone else's, you know, series, and that wasn't a problem. But then to come up on your own, and then, you know, God was moving this thing, and it's like, okay, well, what's the first series we're going to do? And the reason today is our launch day is because in some of the training is church planting training, they said, well, September and February are the best times to launch a church. That's when people are most ready. And so it's like, okay, well, our schedule would then be February, and I didn't want to do it on Super Bowl Sunday, and so it was the week after Super Bowl Sunday. And it happens to be the day after Valentine's Day. And it's like, well, what do we talk about? So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about what is love. And we're going to spend some time looking into this. And now in your head is the song, right? What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But that's why there's kind of an 80s theme to this. I was given, Nicole put this together. I'm like, wow, that's really 80s. And she's like, yeah, so is that song. And I don't like any 80s music. And so, but we're going to spend 3 weeks looking at what is love and trying to understand that more and more. And being that yesterday was Valentine's Day, which is the ultimate of fake holidays that I, like, don't really acknowledge. Halloween and Valentine's Day are below like Flag Day to me. They're not real things. And people love these things. But people go and they watch like romance movies this time of year. And I remember it was a couple years ago, Gracie, she's 16, but she's our third, our youngest daughter. She wanted to watch a movie with me. And she is all about romance movies and everything. And I said, well, here, I have a great romance movie for you. I said, it has love, it has marriage, it has babies. And I had her watch The Patriot with me. And we get to the end, and she's like, Dad, that is not a romance movie. And I said, yes, it is. He got a girl in the end. His son got married. She goes, yeah, but they killed them both, and everyone died. I said, well, but still, it had all of the parts you loved. But really, kind of the... Then I started looking and wanting to talk about, you know, love and all of that. I thought, well, what are the greatest love songs of all time? And it gave me this list. And I was like, these are the dumbest songs of all time. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, okay, what are the greatest romantic movies of all time? And like, it was a horrible list. And the real answer to maybe the greatest romance movie of all time is this, right? Like, everyone knows this one, and it has something, and it was really a masterpiece because it had the sword fights, and it had everything in it. It was based around this love story, and it has this really famous line that kept carrying through the whole time, right? Well, the line is, as you wish, and you can just see Wesley rolling down the hill and yelling at as he's revealing that the dread pirate Roberts is actually, you know, Wesley, the farm hand that was always in love with Princess Buttercup and would do anything for her. And so often we view love as that, right? It's one person giving everything for the other. And I was thinking about that this week, and I was going, man, you know, it would be so easy just to preach on as you wish and to preach through, you know, kind of the view of the Princess Bride and everything that's there. But really, that's a horrible form of love. When you look at that movie and this this site, there was one person who was giving everything and one person who was giving nothing and just taking. Like the whole time they're growing up, and she just kept treating him like dirt as the farmhand, and he just kept saying, as you wish, as you wish, as you wish. And then he finally meets up with her again, and it's kind of the same type of thing. This guy continually puts himself out there for her, and she just continually takes. And I was like, wow, that's really kind of a horrible romance movie. Like, it fits all of these things like we look for, but do we actually find what we're looking for? Because if that was the relationship where one side is continually giving and the other side is continually taking, that would get really, really old quickly. And that wouldn't build a long-lasting teamwork relationship. It wouldn't be anything fruitful or lasting. And I spend more time thinking about things like this than I probably used to. And one of the worlds I live in is in the housing market as a builder and a realtor. And I tell people when I start showing them houses, I say, I'm going to sound really, really negative to you. Because I'm going to continually point out the bad things. You don't need me to tell you how great the house is. You're going to fall in love with that stuff on your own. You need me to tell you if it's going to fall apart. And they said, so everything I say, you're going to constantly be going, why is Rick always dogging on this house? Well, you don't need all the lovey-dovey, oh, I love the paint, I love, you know, the neighborhood stuff. You don't need that from me. You can do that on your own. My job is to tell you the truth. And I look at my kids now as I have two that are in the age of dating. And then Gracie, she thinks she's in the age of marriage yet. But like, no, there's no blessings to be had for any of my kids right now. Like, none of them are at me handing blessings out yet. And so we're there. But I look at their relationships and look at who they are. And I just think, okay, this is the person, this is the type of person that would be a good fit for them. See, they're going to easily fall in love with people that can bring them flowers and do as you wish. But I know my kids. I know what they need more than maybe even they do, because I see their personalities. And I can look and I can say, man, this is a hard driver. And it's going to be really easy for someone to, if they're just infatuated with them, to just go, okay, as you wish, whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you want. But quickly in their life, they're going to get tired as one side will get tired of being told what to do and just along for the ride. And to be honest with you, my hard-driving child will get really, really bored with never being challenged. So I keep speaking into it, going, hey, this is actually who you need. You need someone that will push you. Someone that wants to run just as fast as you. And then I got other kids that they're just servants and they just want to care for people. And it's like, okay, that's great and that's who you are and I need you to do that. But you need someone who's going to really, really appreciate that. You need someone who's going to want to give and reciprocate that same level of love back, because otherwise you're going to get just worn out because you're giving and giving and giving and there's always taking and taking and taking. So I watch my kids and the relationships and people that they may like I'm looking at different things. My wife can be looking at, oh, you know, they're so cute and they're so cute together and they have so much fun, and it's like, that's all great, but I'm looking for what's longer and what's better. And that's really what love is, right? It's something that can last, that's actually beneficial. And it's so much more than just this good feeling that goes. You'll constantly hear me talk about the difference between joy and pleasure. And so often we look at love as a pleasureful thing. It's a moment. It's brief. But it lacks substance. It lacks joy. Now, joy doesn't mean easy. joy doesn't mean there's not challenge and there's not friction and there's not toughness, but there's things that build strength and make it amazing. And that's what we're going to dig into for the next 3 weeks, is we're going to look at love and what does it mean to love. So before we dig in, let's pray. Loving Father, what a joy it is to be able to call you that. The one who exemplifies love and sacrifice and knows us. God, as we acknowledge you as our maker and our creator, we give you this moment. Lord, we ask that you just calm our hearts, clear our minds, open our ears so that we hear from you and you alone. Lord, personally, if there's anything that I'm prepared to say or I want to say that doesn't align with you, your character, your word, God, I just ask that you just remove it from my mind. Don't let it leave my lips. And if it does, let it fall on deaf ears so that only your words stand true. We offer this time to you. Change us in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there are parts of Scripture that tell us things. And we really have to work sometimes to understand what is descriptive and what is prescriptive. And sometimes we get tossed up where we see something happens. And one of my favorite ones to talk about that was a descriptive thing that we often maybe take a little bit as a descriptive thing. Or it's the other way around. We see it's describing something, but we talk about it maybe as prescribed, is that faith of a mustard seed will move a mountain. And I've said this before, that probably if we're all honest with ourselves, we see that moment, and maybe we try to pull some Jedi mind tricks, and we're like, well, a mountain's a little ridiculous. But maybe I can move that trash can. And we stare at it really hard, and we just start moving our fingers, and we're expecting the force to move it. It's like, man, I don't even have that much faith. But that's really a descriptive moment where Jesus was standing on the shore, and he was actually talking about a mountain getting stacked on top of another mountain. And it was a descriptive moment of something that happened in the context of Scripture. And we need to find those things. But what we're going to dig into today is an actual prescriptive moment. And we're going to be in Deuteronomy 6. And we're going to kind of bounce around there in a little bit. And let me set the stage of what it is that we're looking at here. So in Deuteronomy 5, we see the Ten Commandments. And Moses was just given these things, and God's going, okay, here's what I need you to do. Here's the laws. Here's what it is. And he gives these 10 things. The first bunch of them are about you and your relationship with God. And then there's this Sabbath one in the middle, which is about God, but actually about me as well. And then the bottom half of them is about loving your neighbor. And God is giving the 10 commandments. And he follows that statement up with verse 1 in chapter 6. And it says, this is the command, the statutes and ordinances the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, so that you may follow them in the land you are about to enter and possess. Do this so you may fear the Lord your God all of the days of your life by keeping all of his statutes and commands I am giving you, your son, your grandson, and so that you may have long life. Listen, Israel, and be careful to follow them, so that you may prosper and multiply greatly, because the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. So this is what Moses is saying. He goes, God gave us these commandments. God gave us all of these things, and it's to prosper us. He's saying it's for you and your households and everything down past that. It's this big group. When they say it's for you and your sons and your households, they're not just talking about individual people. It's about everything that goes with it. It's this word. It's called oikos. And it's not just that. It's everyone that lives and is a part of your community. And Moses is saying, God says, if we do this, we're going to be blessed. we're going to find joy, not pleasure. He says a land flowing with milk and honey. And we throw that out there like it's nothing significant. But if you have milk, you have cows. If you have cows, you have brisket. If you have honey, you have bees, which means you also get all of the other plants and flowers and all of these beautiful things. It's more than just something sweet and milk. It's going everything that comes with this. If you just do what God told you to do. If you can just focus on following these things, not because I want to put my thumb on you and to pressure you, but because I know what's best for you. This is their heavenly Father, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, all of these stories that have been passed down from generation to generation, the God that removed them from under Egypt's rule and said, I have so much in store for you, the God that crossed the Red Sea and protected them. He's going, guys, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just understand my love for you, the joy you'll have, the prosperity you'll have, the love you'll have. Because when he says the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, you have to go back to this covenant relationship with Abraham, where Abraham looks at him and says, you and your descendants will be a blessing to all generations. When they're tagging this onto it, going, if you'll just follow my commands, the blessing goes well beyond your household. All generations. For all time. Because you get to point them to me. Because you get to see what it is to follow the one true God. He goes, if you can just follow these commands, the land I promise you, the blessings I promised you, the milk, the honey, the brisket, is all there. Should be simple, right? But we keep kind of messing that up. In fact, if we jump just a little bit further in Deuteronomy, still in chapter 6, and we just go kind of to the next thought, we hear him say something. He goes, these words that I'm giving you today are to be on your heart. This is chapter verse 6 of chapter 6. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on your doorpost of your house and on your city gates. Moses is being given this message and God's going, I need you to burn these into your brain. You have to remember what this is. I don't know if you've ever traveled anywhere or seen places, you'll see something that looks kind of like this. It's called a mezuzah. Now this one has, it's called the grafted in symbol because it has the menorah, the Star of David, and the ichthus, or the Christian fish. So this one is more of a Christian style, but you will see ones in Jewish households, and they put them on their doorpost, and they touch them every time they leave the house. If you enter in through my front door, you'll see it there on my doorpost. And what's actually inside there is there's a scroll that goes inside there. And what's on the scroll is the part of Deuteronomy 6 that I've skipped. And this is what we're actually going to look at for the next 3 weeks. And it says, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. They have to et Adonai Eloheha, v'hold lashiga, uvahold nashiga, uvahold meodeha. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's what's supposed to be taught to your children. That's what's supposed to be on your arms and on your forehead and on your doorpost. That is what's supposed to be covered down. So he gives the Ten Commandments and he says, here's the law, here's the things, but here's the heart. If you guys can just love me and me alone, if you can just love me with everything that you are, you got it. Milk and honey, you got it. Peace and blessing to generation after generation to generation, you got it. But it's so important. I need you to know it. I need you to teach your children. I need you to put it everywhere you go. Twice a day, for thousands of years, Jewish people have woke up every morning and said, Shema Israel. Before they go to bed, they say, Shema Israel. When they walk past a door, they touch the mezuzah, and they say, Shema Israel. If you go through Israel, you will see people with leather boxes strapped with leather straps around their head. You'll see them on their arms, strapped on there to where their skin's discolored because it's so tight, and the pain reminds them to hear, O Israel, the Lord is my God, the Lord alone. Because they're going, we can't forget this. Everything hinges on this. So it's called the Shema, is what it is. And Shema means hear. And so it's hear, O Israel. So the prayer itself, if you Google the Shema, it's going to come up with Deuteronomy 6. And it's just hear. And hear is kind of one of those big words. And if we just stop it here, we're often like Fezzik, who's just, whoa. I don't know what we're doing. Anyway, he's going to try to get me back to Fezzik, which is saying inconceivable. And there's that line in Princess Bride where I don't think that means what you think it means. That's what Shema is, actually. Because here is inadequate. One thing you're going to learn if you hang out with us at any bit of time, we believe it's important to dig into the context of the words and the time. The scripture was not written to us, but it was written for us. The Bible was written to a very specific people that lived in a very specific time, that had a very specific culture. And it's our job to understand that so we understand things. And a big piece of that is understanding the words that are used. So when we see Shema, it's not just here. It's a big word that means many things. It means hear, listen, pay attention, focus, respond. It doesn't mean just hear the words. It means get them, understand them, and do something about it. Constantly you'll see the word hear or Shema through Scripture, and each time it's saying, get what I'm about to tell you and do something with it. I do this with my son Joey. He'll be down in the basement playing a video game or something. And I'll yell, Joey. And he has learned that doesn't mean I want him to yell what. It means I want him to hit pause, get up, come and see my eyes so he can hear, understand, and obey what I'm about to tell him. Me yelling his name is not just going, Joey, where are you? It's requiring action. Growing up, far too many times, because maybe I was a little bit of a slow learner, my dad would tell us to do something. If we didn't do it, there was a point where we've crossed the line of too many times. And we would be standing in front of him, and he would say, what did I tell you to do? And we'd say, you told us to do this. He goes, how many times did I tell you to do it? He wasn't looking for a number. The answer was too many. Because his next question was, how many times should have I told you to do it? And that answer was a number, and it was one. Because some words aren't just, I need you to hear what I've said. There, I need you to understand it, and I need you to obey it. that Shema. So hear, O Israel, isn't just read these words. It isn't just hear them and maybe repeat them. I like how the CSB says it. It just jumps to, listen, Israel. Because if I say, hear, Israel, hear, O Israel, hear this, it's very, but if I go, listen, it hit dad voice. My kids know what dad voice is. And that's what this is. This is Moses handing something down, going, hey, Israel, pay attention. Everything is on this. Love God, God alone. Everything you do from this moment on needs to be that. Because this isn't as you wish. This is understanding the covenant all the way back to Abraham. This is understanding the relationship with Isaac and Jacob. This is understanding what God did for the Israelites in Egypt and is bringing this to them in the promise beforehand. And he's going, I have something for you. I'm showing you my love, and this is how we reciprocate. This is how love works. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is your God, the Lord alone. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Sometimes we struggle with the start of that. We can repeat the things, we can read Scripture, we can hear Scripture, but do we shema Scripture? Because you don't do things because I say them. I can't tell you how to do things. You have to know and want and dig in yourself. I can show you information. I can show you Scripture. But unless you're ready to hear it from God and God alone. It doesn't say, hear Israel, listen to Rick George, because I put him on a magic carpet up here and given him a microphone. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. Because the milk and honey and all of the blessings of peace and comfort and patience and joy, everything that God has promised you all through Scripture, come back to understanding that it is God and God alone. And so often we look for love in all the wrong places. We go, okay, I can hear Scripture. But I really want to put all my value into this person that I am infatuated with. In a reality, it's an as-you-wish relationship where this person doesn't actually provide peace, doesn't actually provide joy, doesn't actually make me better and more complete, and doesn't actually make me a better servant of the Most High. It's just something that's distracting me and taking from me. And I just keep going as you wish and giving to this relationship. Sometimes it's something else, whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography or food or work or money or all these things that we just keep going as you wish, as you wish, as you wish, and we keep giving and giving and giving, but there's nothing that comes back. There's no promise of peace or joy or fulfillment that comes from it. Because none of those things know the depth of my soul. They weren't there when I was created. They don't know my innermost being. None of those things created me in their image and told me that I am loved and I am good. But yet, so often, we go, okay, I'll hear God, and He is my God, but maybe we're struggling with the alone part. Because we have God and we have all these other things that we kind of put up on this level. And we say, yeah, the milk and honey sounds good. But I don't know that I want to surrender to the laws and the statutes that go with it. Because there's this pleasure over here, but it just keeps leaving wanting. And that's where we struggle. We have a God that spoke everything into existence, created everything, and at the end said, it's good. And then created man in his image. And said, that's very good. It's good to a furthest possible extent. He goes, and I know you, and I love you. And if you can just focus on me and the things I've told you to do, your life is going to be so amazing and so peaceful and so joy-filled that no matter what comes around, you're going to have a peace and a patience about you that draws other people into the same relationship. And even when it feels like the world is crashing in on you, you're just going to smile and you're going to have peace. And you go, whatever it is that's coming my way, I'm with God. He and he alone is the provider and sustainer. And then people are going to see you live like that. And you're going to go, I don't understand how you handle the things you handle. And you're going to go, I couldn't handle the things I handle without God. So the question for you today, who are you listening to? Who do you hear? Who do you smog? Because things are calling out to you. There's a million things hollering out going, hey, listen. Here, Rick, listen to this. Listen to what the world is telling you you want. And he keeps calling out, and am I hearing it? And am I obeying that? Or am I staying focused in Scripture and going, okay, God, this is what you have in store for me. I feel this in the depths of my soul, and I need to hear and listen and obey to you and to you alone. Because you are the only one worthy of my praise. You are the only one worthy to have my ear, to have my attention, and to have my devotion. Because the reality is, he's the only one that knows you and is looking out for you and loves you beyond what you can even understand. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God. The Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Joel's going to come back up. We're going to sing another song as we close out. And this is a time that we intentionally put into place, not just to fill time, but for you to sing or not. But a time for you to sit there and start processing and hearing what Holy Spirit is speaking into your life, going, hey, is there something else that you're listening to? Is there something else that has your ear that's going, hey, listen to me, obey me, do this, and do we need to align ourselves back with God? Because the world tells us a billion things. The world's constantly speaking into us and saying, hey, this feels right, doesn't it? And we start making God in our image and we start building this thing. And God's going, no, 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 me and me alone. Stick with me. It all makes sense. Because just like I tell my kids, I see you and I know you. And I'm not distracted by the looks or whatever else that draws attention in someone you're seeking to build your life with. I'm looking for someone who's going to align and get a match with who God made you so that you two can be a team and you can chase kingdom things together. Because I've been watching you and I see you. God's looking at you going, focus on me, not the shiny stuff out there that doesn't have any substance. Because there's real peace. Real joy, real comfort. Joel. Instantly, the Bible says, follow my commands, do what I've told you to do. It's not because God's taking, it's because God's going, I know what's best for you. And I love you so much. That's why he's worthy. See, if all it was just a, I'm God and I spoke everything into existence and this is who I am and I'm the almighty, the all-powerful, the all-authority, the all-majesty God, and you will obey me because of that, that's completely acceptable. That's who God is. But then that same God says, I love you deeply and I have the best for you. And that just blows my mind. Now, as we lay out and we think about how this particular church congregation is going to act and behave, you know, there's this piece, this offering piece, and we've explained this a few weeks now, that we often think that's a money thing. And while giving of our money is a piece of following in what God is calling as it breaks our hearts, there's also this offering piece of what God is telling us to do right now. And so we have this card that you're given as you came in the door, and it has this piece that rips off. And on the back, you can tell us who you are and stuff on the front, and that's all good and stuff. But there's what's God asking of me right now. And you can fill this out because we're going to sing one last piece, and we're going to have ushers come forward and they're going to hand buckets, and you can put these cards in there if God's stirring something in you, because our offering is everything. It's not just a money thing. Because God's stirring something in you and going, are you hearing and obeying? And am I God and God alone? Or are you hearing and kind of obeying and it's me plus all this other stuff? And maybe God's stirring in you and going, hey, I need you to move that out of the way because it is me and me alone. Because anytime you add something else into this platform with me, you're not getting everything that I have for you, because you're in control of something and you're doing something that's not the best for you. You're being distracted by shiny things. And God may be stirring something in you and going, hey, I need you to offer that to me. Let me show you what I can do with this. When you surrender things to me, I can show you what I can do with this, because I love you. And when you let it be me and me alone, the things I'm going to do are absolutely amazing. And the things that go with it are absolutely amazing. So what are our offerings? What are the things that are keeping us from Shema Israel, from hearing and listening and obeying? What are the things we're holding on to? So as we do this last piece of the song and the ushers come forward, just send the buckets to the end, set them on the end. There's something about the action piece of the card. You can take it with you, but you can also put it in the black box. But writing something down and putting it on there, if you put your name on it and check the box that says, hey, have a pastor reach out, we'll come in and we'll walk alongside you in the path. And we'll reach out and go, hey, how's this going? How's this letting this piece go? Like, even if you're just visiting with us, and we're thankful for the support of so many that are here just to help us celebrate this day, I'll still reach out and go, hey, how we doing? Because we're all on the same team. We're all a part of what God is doing in this kingdom. It's not just here in this cafeteria. It's in all the churches around here. And we're pulling for you. I want you to have a relationship surrendered to God, because that's where peace is. That's where joy is. That's where comfort is. So we'll sing this last bit of the song. So next week we're going to dig into what it means to love God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your soul, because I can guarantee you those words don't mean what you think they mean. It's much bigger. It's much more amazing. So we're going to be digging in. If you can be with us, great. If not, you can find them on our website a few days after, in the middle of the week, every week, and follow along. But I just can't encourage you enough to live a life focused on the Shema and start going, hear Rick George, listen Rick George, it's God and God alone. I'm going to love him with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. That's it. Everything's on there. It's prescriptive. That's if you do this, you got it. But we'll dig into next week and into what those words mean. Loving Father, we praise you for this time. Lord, as we leave this place, we ask that you have us changed as we are different than when we came in. And God, throughout this week, we continue to surrender to you and to you alone. We dig in deeper to your word to understand who you are better, to understand what it means to be a disciple of you and a follower of you, and what it means to be loved by you. Give us a heart that chases after you and a spirit and an attitude that people see who it is that we serve, so we can tell them, let me tell you about this God that loves you and loves me. We praise you for what you've done today, God, and what you will continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. See you guys next week.